Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Harris is here. We're gonna get to Tim Kelly in just a second, but we're hoping Tim Kelly is a good coach. Unlike our next guest, John Harris,
okay,
is lingering around the halls here at NRG.
Okay.
All right. Set up the scenario.
Okay. So here's the scenario. Now, I know for a fact that this happened in a game. I was sitting there watching. I was screaming at the television.
Okay.
It happened in 2003.
Okay.
Appalachian State played Furman.
All right.
Okay. So Furman goes on a late second drive or a late last minute drive.
Mm-hmm.
They score with 4 seconds left in the game.
All right.
They go up by one. Okay. What do you do? You go up by one. There's 4 seconds left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You go up by one. What should you do?
That's when you can return a two-point, a block kick.
Thank you.
For 2 points, correct?
Correct. There's only 4 seconds left in the game,
yeah.
Right? So by going for two to put you up three, it really is irrelevant because they don't have time to catch the kickoff and kick a field goal, right?
Right.
So the only ways... The only ways that they can beat you is
blocking the kick.
Blocking a kick or returning a fumble or interception back the other way to beat you.
I would actually go for two, but run the ball.
Okay. See? It's close.
Yeah. Run the ball.
I just take a knee.
No, because I would. Here's where I would differ with you on that. I would want the 3-point lead. The ideal situation is a 3-point lead. But I'm not going to throw anything in the flat that can go pick six. I'm not going to throw anything get over the middle and get tipped and returned.
I'm going to turn
and hand the ball to my best back, and hopefully he gets 2.5 yards.
I can go with you on that.
That way, at worst, it's a tie, right?
I can at least live with that.
Right.
But with 4 seconds left, there's no way that they can catch a kick, run it back, and kick a field goal.
Correct.
Now, they can run the kickoff back.
Right.
But then whether you got a 1-point lead or a 3-point lead, it don't matter.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
So what did you say, Landry?
Now he's backtracking.
Go for two. Every time, go for two.
I would run the ball for two.
Go for two every time.
Now, I can live with that.
Yeah.
Because.
No. But look, we all run these drills. I mean, they all run these drills. And I'm not talking about a pitch. I'm not about a triple option. I'm talking to my offensive line in the huddle. If I'm the quarterback, I'm saying, boys, beat your man.
Now I know what I do if I have number four.
Right.
I go empty.
Bootleg. Yeah.
I go empty and I spread everybody out and I run quarterback trap or quarterback draw.
Yeah.
And I want the ball in his hands.
Because that way, I want the perfect situation. I want a 3-point lead with 4 seconds left.
Yeah, I don't care about,
you know?
But that's the thing. I don't worry about that because I don't even want to take a chance at that because if I do that, I still, even in running the ball, I can fumble it and go back.
Sure.
I mean, remember UNLV and Baylor. There's some fans screaming right now from Baylor saying, well, you tried to punch one in the end zone. You didn't need one, and UNLV went back the other way.
Right.
So, to me, I just take a knee because if they're going to run back on my kickoff team, they're going to take one on my kickoff team.
But what if you squib kick? Let's say
you're not going to squib kick. You're not gonna. Why would you squib kick?
So you're gonna kick it deep?
Well, I'm gonna not squib it. So somebody picks it up at the 30-yard line.
Kick it inside the 20.
I'm gonna kick it down inside the 20 or down inside the 10 and make them return it. Because if they return it, then it's on my kickoff team to stop
them.
Then a 1 or a 3-point lead doesn't matter.
What if they don't return it?
You're arguing logic, like football logic, with me.
But if they
the loopholes agree with me.
But if
loopholes,
they don't,
I know you agree with
but
me.
But if they don't return it and then they throw the ball deep and there's a pass interference.
Yeah, but
then they could be kicking a field goal. They could be kicking a field goal to win instead of tie.
This is end of game situation we're talking about here. You better not be going up and interfering with somebody. If somebody's gonna throw the ball, you let them catch it and then you don't screw it up like the Saints did. Let them catch it.
Because then the clock runs out.
Tackle them in bounds and you're done. Ball game.
It's John Harris' strategy, right?
Unless you're the Vikings.
So John.
Case Keenum.
You're closer in agreement with me than you are with him.
I would want to keep the ball on the ground, keep it safe. Maybe even
about a fade?
No.
God,
I don't want the ball in the air.
It's a fade, man.
By the way, Appalachian State threw the flat. Furman picked it off, took off the other way. The wide receiver ran like a 4-3, ran down the corner. He flipped it to a linebacker, and that guy ran in for two. Mm. Appalachian State lost by one with 3 seconds left on the clock.
I've seen more.
Inexcusable.
I've seen more kickoffs returned.
Okay, I'm telling
that's
you.
Rare.
I know you, and I know how fans react. I guarantee you, if something were to happen,
damn right,
if the Texans took a 1 point lead, and then the 2 points went the other way, you would have.
Oh, you know me.
You know what? I guarantee you would.
No, you're right. I would. B.O.B. should have
run the ball.
You know I'm Monday morning quarterbacking. Of course.
I know you are.
Of course.
I know you are. 100%. I'm getting out ahead of it. I'm just saying, look, you take a snap and you just take a knee. Georgia, 2001 against Tennessee, when threw up the middle to fullback. This fullback leaked through. David Green threw it.
I remember that game.
And Larry Munson went, we just dropped a hobnail boot on the Tennessee Volunteers. Guess what Mark Richt did with a 2 point lead up 26-24 with 2 seconds on the clock? Guess what he did?
Took a knee.
Thank you very much.
And that's why I got fired.
Didn't even take a chance. That team went to the Sugar Bowl for the first time since the Herschel Walker years.
Hey, David Green, number 14.
So there you go.
Big fan of him.
There you go.
Hey, speaking of college football, before we get you out of here, what are the chances? Because we're going to Las Vegas in less than 4 weeks. We're going now. What are the chances that Clemson beats? Our A&M beats Clemson, and that Texas beats LSU. Just give us
like a parlay.
They play the same day.
Just give the percentage that A&M pulls off, and then the percentage that Texas pulls it off.
Well, I think A&M's going to be able to move the ball a little bit on Clemson because they're without a complete defensive front. Now that doesn't mean that they haven't replenished. I mean, Xavier Thomas, number 3 defensive end, is going to be a stud.
Yeah,
but they don't have the depth in there. Even Albert Huggins is here. Mm-hmm. I mean, they lost everybody, so that's going to help. But they are athletic in the back end, so I do think they're going to be able to run the ball. I think Jay Sean Corbin's going to do some things, but offensively, it could get really ugly. But I do think A&M's defense will be.
I was just telling him during the break. He asked me about them. I think their front seven's the best they've had.
I think absolutely. I think Matt Abike is going to be a big time player. Yeah. I think they're going to be good at linebacker. Even they lost a couple of guys. I think they'll actually
upgrade. Buddy Johnson's a good player.
I think they will be Brown up front. Mm-hmm. I mean, Clemson will have some trouble with them, but Clemson's going to figure out kind of like last year, okay, the way we do this is we get in the gun and we just let T. Higgins and Justin Ross go to work.
Yeah.
So I think A&M will put up some points, but I think it's going to be tough in Clemson playing
25%,
that game.
30%?
Yeah. Now, I give Texas a much better shot against LSU.
Well, they're at home. I mean,
yeah.
Well, part of it is they're at home. I think LSU, every year we go into this thing with LSU and we're like, look how much talent LSU has.
They do.
Holy cow.
They do.
They do. And then what did they do when they play a team? I mean, last year they beat Miami, but Miami
they
was
overachieved
hot garbage.
Last year, though, LSU, I think, from what we expected.
I think there's a degree of that because they finally had a quarterback in Joe Burrow that he's competent. But I don't look at LSU and go, okay, well, the 1 year they had OBJ and Charles Landry, they had Mettenberger, who could at least get them the football, but then they couldn't stop running water on defense, which was rare. I think their corners will be as good as advertised. I think Christian Fulton is one of the top 2 or 3 corners in the country. TCU fans, I think they may have the number 1 corner in the country, which is weird. Jeff Gladney is a phenomenal player. Mm-hmm. I think he's right now probably my number 1 corner. Fulton's probably number 2, number 3. So they'll be good. Kerry Vincent will be good. Grant Delpit, I think, might be the best player in the country. So secondary-wise, that'll be a great matchup. Colin Johnson against those guys is going to be really fun to watch. Texas have to get their running backs back. They've only got two of them in camp.
I only need one. Ingram's good.
I mean, if they have Ingram and Whittington, I think they're going to end up being fine. I give Texas a pretty good shot of knocking off to LSU. Yes, it's in Austin.
So
I get all that. But I'm the one, death and taxes, bro. Death, taxes, and me taking a knee up 1 or 2 or 3 seconds left
there
in the game.
Go.
That's the only thing.
You know why Texas is going to win, though? There's 2 reasons, really.
Well, first of all, Tom Herman in a big game always wins.
Yeah, and it's a
big game, Tom.
And they're facing Ed Orgeron. Is probably like the 8th best coach they'll face next year.
That's
honestly
probably true.
I mean, honestly, he's probably the. Probably if you listed the coaches that Texas plays next year, there's a reason.
What, this coming up year?
Yeah, there's a reason that LSU tried to hire Herman before Orgeron. I think we see that.
Yeah.
And it's at home.
No, I mean, I think the Big 12.
I think A&M's
just look
win,
at the
though.
Big. Look at the coaches in the Big 12. I mean, Gary Patterson, Matt Campbell at Iowa State.
Yeah,
Matt Rhule. Two NFL coaches of those 3 we just
named. I mean, I think Rhule still has to prove it in the Big 12. I mean,
seems like
I think
he gets an interview every year.
I know, but I think a lot of that has to do. He's got a little bit of an NFL background. People like what he's done
looking.
With Baylor. Kind of, he's flirting
he's looking.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But I was never a big fan of Coach O, the head coach. But I think if the players relate to him,
they love
him. They'll play for him. I mean, USC did that. They related to him. They played for him. So that's one thing. But when you match – when you match talent on talent, I think Texas has as much talent as LSU does this year.
Yeah, they lost like 8-9 starters on defense. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That's another thing that is overrated in college. We can talk about this forever. Losing starters on crappy defense. I hate when they say they lost this many starters. It's like, well, their defense was the worst in the freaking conference.
And it's an upgrade with what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, there's like an upgrade with what's coming. So LSU, I'm sure LSU will play the true freshman running back. I think that'll. I just don't know if he'll be week one. So it's probably good Texas.
He'll get some reps.
I would imagine he'll get some reps. That's probably when he's going to win the job. But that's. I mean, other than that, on offense, I look at LSU and go, man, they lost Foster Moreau.
Mm-hmm.
The receivers are good, not great. I don't think there's anybody over there. You go, oh, we got it.
There's nobody on their offense.
There's not a Jarvis Landry or an OBJ
that terrifies you.
There's not even a Reuben Randall, really.
Yeah,
I mean they're decent receivers.
Usually they had a receiver or a back that would just terrify you.
Yeah,
we go back to OBJ, Fournette.
There's a Fournette. There's a guy.
Yeah,
but squads like that, a lot of times you'll see them week one. You'll be like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, they got another one. They got another one.
Yeah, I mean that there will be somebody that I would imagine throughout the season probably does that, but I don't know about right away.
Yeah,
I don't know about right away. Now, I mean the best player they have. Is Delpit, and the second best is Fulton. So, and they're both in the secondary. So I think LSU's secondary is going to be stout. But I don't think LSU is great up front. I mean, on the offensive front. I mean, they got one of the big guys back. Not, I want to say Rashad Lawrence, or Ed Lawrence. I can't remember. Number 90, who I think was one of them went to the draft and one of them didn't. One of them stayed. And so defensively, they'll be okay. If Chiasson is healthy, that gives them edge presence. Divinity on the other side, pretty good. They don't have Devin White back, and I think that could hurt them.
So the moral of the story, Texas by 40, A&M, they got a shot. John Harris, always a pleasure.
Pretty much. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. John Lopez in the loop. That was a little bit of college football.
I like that.
Impromptu college football talk with the man, John Harris, who's the guy to go to for stuff like that. He's got names for days, man. I was sitting there trying to figure. A lot of times when I watch college football, I'll tell you, 76, yeah, he's good.
The
I like
numbers
him,
are stand
96,
out.
But yeah. That's a guy who is studying it year-round. So a little bit of college football talk, a little bit of football strategy there with our man John Harris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.